Thank you, Renee. It takes me a little while to get organized this morning. I hope you don't mind. Now, I know that most of the congregation knows that my wife and I moved. And we moved from a 3,000-square-foot house into a 1,600-square-foot house. So that's a lot of furniture to pack into one house. Well, I have had about an hour of sleep, 45 minutes last night, because last night my wife packed my sermon. She literally packed my sermon. And I said to her, "Honey, where's my sermon?" She says, "I don't know." So most of the night was spent tearing into boxes, and finally, at about 4:30 this morning, I found it. Anyway, okay, our second scripture reading will be from the book of John, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 35th verse. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, that now that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this indeed is the will of my Father, that all who see the Son of Man and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." And then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourself. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written by the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from the God, and he has seen the Father. Verily I say unto you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread I give you is the bread of life, is the world of my flesh." And the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Verily, I say to you, unless you eat of this flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you will have no life in you. Those who eat of my flesh and drink of my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. And just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, whosoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things, teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. In Christ's name. Okay, our friends from Oregon, what are your last names? Yes, what are your last names? Okay, we're glad to have you with us. They were very quick to point out to me, I told them I'm not the normal pastor here, and they said, "You're not the normal one, huh?" And they were very quick to point that out. We're glad that you're with us this morning. I hope you do stay afterward. We'll have a wonderful fellowship here and coffee, and Vicky's not here today, but we do have refreshments, so please stay. I hope you notice the term of my sermon this morning. And by the way, the sermon is going to please most of you because it's going to be very short. Okay. Johnny Carson once said that the mark of a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending and put them as close together as possible. So I think that's, I'm going to please everybody this morning. Okay. I hope you noticed that the title of my sermon this morning was Radical Jesus. And the word radical is something you never apply to Jesus Christ. When you think or hear of the word or the term radical, the picture usually comes to mind of someone who's not only intolerant of another person's political view, but also bent on expressing himself or herself through violent means. We've all seen the pictures on television, broken windows, burning cars, rocks thrown at police. The term radical has extreme negative connotations. Also, the extension of the term radical into what has been now known as radicalism has come into our vocabulary. It means moving one from one's view not only to disagreement and violence, but into total violence and obstruction, destruction. We have seen young men and women in the United States become so radicalized that they leave this country and join ISIS or some other political organization bent on destruction of our way of life. I'm sorry, I have no tolerance for people who seek to destroy and throw away our precious freedom. I think it is it's wonderful for people to maintain their cultural integrity. I think that if you're Hispanic and you want to maintain your Hispanic roots, wonderful. I see no problem in that. If you're, because I think people gain great strength from their roots. But I do have a problem when people move into this country and they want us to assimilate to them rather than them assimilating to us. I mean, this is not the United States of Mexico. It's not the United States of Canada or not the United States of Guatemala. It is the United States. And when people come into this world, into our country, assuming that we will blend with them rather than blending with us, they want to introduce things like the Sharia law from Islam into our constitution, which for you ladies, it'd be just horrible. It's horrible for everybody, but for you ladies especially, it would be horrible. I tell them it's time that we rethink it, and it's time for them to move on. Now, this may offend you. If it does, I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. If it offends you, that's good. But it's time that we as a nation begin to stand up and have some backbone of our own. Now, you notice that I talked about Jesus being radical. How radical was he? Well, I'm going to briefly talk about three things today. Jesus taught us, first of all, the value of each human soul. Up until then, you know, it was sort of irrelevant that you existed. But in Christ, we learn that each person, not that person and this person, but not this person, but each person's soul is valuable. The Bible says that a sparrow does not fall to the ground without the knowledge of God. So that's the first thing that Christ taught us. And that is radical. You think about Jesus being radical. In his time, he was radical. He came into a world where the approach to God was very remote. He was distant. He was seen in the burning of animal sacrifices and in incense. He was only accessible through the high priest. And when Jesus came into the world, he turned everything upside down. So he is radical. He's radical. But the radicalness, he says, is that everybody in the eyes of God is valuable. This means that every person here that hears my voice and has a soul, and you're valuable in God's sight. That's the first thing. Second thing is that Jesus talked to us about God being the Father. weird concept to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin. You don't say that about God. You don't say that he's your father. He's out there somewhere. We don't know where, but he's there. But to Jesus, he came and he said, "You are my children. I am your father." It is in Christ that we learn to share the very nature of God himself. Let me repeat that. My Bible professor in seminary used to stop when he would talk about that. And he'd say, "Now listen to what I'm saying. Sharing in the very nature of God." That means all of us. We literally share in the nature of God. This means that we're not we're not some thing in the universe spending its time, getting ready to go into oblivion. It means that we live our life here on earth. We are human beings with souls. We are loved by God our Father. And when we die, we are promised life eternal. You don't live in this life to get to that life eternal. We are promised it now. That was radical for him to say that. Then Jesus taught us about the purity of love. He showed us how love can change people, can lead us from being a negative, self-centered people into a people changed by the power of his love. I don't know if you've ever experienced that love or not, but if you haven't, but if you haven't, it is available for all. So when Jesus says he's come into the world, he came first of all to reveal God to us, to reveal him to us. He's there. We don't have to burn incense or kill animals on a sacrifice to maintain, to have contact with God. God is there for all of us. What about in 2018? I'm going to do it again. What about in 2018? Do the expectations of Jesus back in the year zero mean anything to us today? Does he expect us sitting in this pew today, 2018, to be radical? Yeah, he does. Excuse me. Radical means different. If the world looks at you and it sees the world, something's wrong. If the world looks at you and it sees something's with this person, I often make reference to the movie Hacksaw Ridge. And if you haven't seen that movie, you got to see it. If you have PTSD, don't see it. But if you got to see that movie. It's about a Seventh-day Adventist man who is a passive aggressive conscientious objector in World War II. And he was at first totally rejected by everybody. And he stuck in there and finally made it in to be a medic, and he alone saved over 75 people, wounded people, legs blown off, arms blown off, lowered them down, and saved over 75 people, and he received the Congressional Medal of Honor. When he went back up for a second time after he had been there for, saved all those people, the captain said, "We have to go back up tomorrow," and I realized that tomorrow's your Sabbath, but the people are not going to go up without you. He said this. He said, "It's not that they believe the same way you believe, but they believe in how much you believe that they're not going up without you." Let me repeat that. It's not that they believe like you believe, but they believe in how much you believe. In other words, you demonstrate what God is all about, and they're not going back up there without you. He went back up, was wounded, and later, he lived, but later got the Congressional Medal of Honor for all his activity. The captain, when he saw him, said, "When I first saw you, I saw a skinny kid. I didn't know who you were. I didn't know what you were all about. But," he said, "you have done more than any person in the service of his country." And he said, "You have to go back up with us." And he did. So It's not so much what we believe, it's how we believe it. It's the reflection. Again, if the world sees you and it sees the world, it's defeated. If the world sees you and it sees Jesus, not the person of Jesus, your actions, then it knows that there's something beyond that. And that's the other thing that God gave to us. He came into the world and he gave us faith to give the world to a world that has no faith. I retired recently out of Madigan. I don't know if you know that or not. I worked out at Madigan Army Medical Center as a clinical psychologist for 47 years, 7 months and 22 days. I was ready to get out of there. But in all that time, I did see men who had been scarred by war. I dealt with people who had PTSD. I used to have groups of people who had PTSD. And you cannot fathom what it's like to have that trauma to your soul. It is beyond description. We used to have group therapy over in Old Madigan, and I would have like 18 in a group. Dr. Hicks and I would hold the group, and they all had PTSD, and the Army in all its wisdom put them right next to the firing range. Well, when they started firing and the mortars started going off, the men's anxiety would go astronomical, and frequently they would hit the floor, trembling, not being able to function. Oh, it's horrible. But I worked with a lot of people who had PTSD. Now I'm retired. I think I was telling Renee that I'm going to have to go back to work to rest up. My wife's honeydew list gets longer and longer every day. So, what does Christ expect of us in 2018? To be any different? Yeah, he does. If we think following Christ is easy, you're wrong. If this is the sum total of your Christianity right here this morning, and you leave here and you go home and you're a different person, something's wrong. Something is wrong. When you leave this place, your faith goes with you. And people that have contact with you sees that dimension of faith. Oh, I hope you do. I hope you have that in your heart. I hope that is part of your life. So God does expect us to be different. Think of radical, as being different. And when you leave this place today, you go be different. To that person that you rarely speak to them. To that person that you rarely help, help them. Expand your faith into a world that has no faith. Expand your love into a world that has no love. Then, and only then, can you say, I am Christian. I am Christ-like. Christian means Christ-like. Then and only then can you say, yes, I've been there and I've done that. Let us pray. Father God, we want to expand ourselves. We want to think outside the box. We want to go places where we've never been and meet challenges that we've had never met. We thank you for being there for us. We thank you that you walk side by side with us and hold our hands. And when we stumble and fall, you pick us up. We thank you for that. Thank you for being radical, for bringing into the world the true soul, the true love, the true commitment. Thank you. Forgive us when we are small people with small minds, thinking small, being small. Teach us to expand ourselves in the name of Christ.